Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll-free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. This is Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines tonight. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe you heard something in church this past weekend and you're still scratching your head wondering about it. Hey, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called us in the past, but it's been a while. You've got something brand new on your heart tonight. By all means, join us as well. Wide open lines, three open lines right now, plenty of room. 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on right now in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be. You're looking for that grace message perspective. That is precisely why we're here for you tonight. So join the conversation. And if you're live streaming with us on YouTube or Facebook, of course, you're welcome to be a part of the interaction tonight as well. Simply give us a call, 877-655-6755. We're going to start out in Maryland tonight, and we'll talk with Stefan. Hi, Stefan. What have you got for us tonight, sir?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do you say to someone, what would your answer be to someone that asks you the question, how do you know Christianity is the one true religion? And I want to hang up and record your response with my phone.
Okay, that sounds good, my friend. Well, I appreciate that question. You know, I think the big thing that sets apart Christianity from every world religion is grace. And it's no coincidence that you're calling in to a program and a ministry called The Grace Message, because that is the message of Christianity. The message of Christianity is not pull yourself up by your bootstraps and give it your best shot. The message of Christianity is not one of self-improvement. The message of true Christianity is not about what you're doing for God, but what God did for you. And I think that's unique. I mean, quite candidly, if we survey the Islamic religion, if we look at Buddhism, if we look at Christian Science, if we even look at something like Scientology, well, all of those religions, and as well as the rest of the world religions, they have something in common. There is a system by which you gain status or gain clarity or level up, almost like in a video game. You increase your status with a deity, or you get clear and put yourself on a higher plane, if you will. And it's by what you do. It's by your actions. And what sets Christianity apart from all world religions is that it's not about what we're doing. It's about what Christ did. And the concept of grace is not shared. I repeat, it is not shared across world religions. The idea that you could be saved freely and have it to have nothing to do with your conduct, nothing to do with your actions, nothing to do with merit, well, that is unique to what Jesus Christ has offered. So as you're talking about this with your friend, I think your friend would have a decision before them. And here's the decision. If God is perfect, and if God is creator of all, and if God holds us to a moral standard, and if I fall short of that moral standard, then how am I going to get there? By what system will I achieve status before him? How will I know when I've arrived? How will I know when I've done enough? and only Christianity provides solid answers to those questions. Because again, at the very core of Christianity, we are celebrating what Jesus did, not what we are doing for him. I mean, let's face it, almost every religion in the world has a founder, a book, some sort of a list of rules, a movement, a way to conduct yourself, and then essentially many of the teachings out there, well, they conclude that God is grading on a curve. You give it your best shot, you hope you do more good than bad, and then there'll be a judgment, and we'll see how you turn out. Or perhaps you've got to give enough money, you've got to conduct yourself in a certain way, you've got to give enough donations, you got to level up in Scientology to get clear, or whatever. There's New Age type religions, there's very old religions, but what religion in and of itself has in common across the planet is this notion of self-improvement, self-actualization, self-cleansing, self-betterment by what we do. And Christianity is unique. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. He said, my yoke is easy. He said, my burden is light. He said, you'll find rest for your soul. And guess who he was talking to at that very moment? He was talking to people who were exhausted. They were exhausted from Judaism. They were giving their law-keeping the best shot possible, and yet they fought the law, and the law won. As the Apostle Paul said, I ended up doing the very thing that I didn't want to do. Who will rescue me from this awful body of death, this experience of failure upon failure? And then, of course, in Romans 8, we find the answer. It's Jesus Christ. And as a result, for every Christian across the planet, there is no condemnation. You get to be blame-free and shame-free, and God's not going to play that blame game with you. In fact, he appeals to us as children. He calls us righteous, holy, blameless, forgiven. Our sins are gone. He keeps no record of our wrongs. You're not going to find that in any world religion. Survey all of them. Give it your best analysis. But what sets Jesus Christ apart is the simple fact that he decided to do everything for us and extend to us salvation at no cost to us, absolutely free to us, because it cost him everything. It's called grace, and that's what sets Christianity apart. Thanks for your call tonight, Stefan. Great to hear from you, and call us back anytime. All right, well, let's go now to Virginia, and we'll talk with Matt. Hey, Matt, what is on your mind tonight, sir?
Hey, Andrew, I had a question. What does it mean that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law? Specifically, does that mean that he lived a life without ever breaking one of the 613? And if so, what do we do with apparent contradictions like healing on the Sabbath? Just something I've been pondering.
Yes, okay. Well, I think there's many ways in which Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, not only in his life, but in his death. And I think we can look at all of that. As far as healing on the Sabbath, he tells people who question him about the Sabbath, he says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, let's use our common sense here. Let's use our godly wisdom. Why did God give a Sabbath? So that people could relax physically. He told Israel to relax, put their hammer down, and stop working for a day and chill out. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does not man for the Sabbath mean? It means that we're not meant to be slaves to a Sabbath. That was never God's intention. And so, this idea that Jesus had to placate to the Pharisees and please everybody, well, there's no substance to it. Jesus knew the spirit of the law. He knew God's intention with the law because he is God. And so I think it's not only the way that he lived, but his very identity. He didn't have to try. I mean, did he have to try to keep the law? Did he have to try to keep the spirit of the law? Look at him. He's God. It's his character. And so it's who he is, and it's what he does, and then also it is his death. The Hebrews 1 says this, "In the past God spoke to our ancestors in many ways, various and sundry ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." Now, if that doesn't tell us how Jesus fulfilled the law, I don't know what does. I mean, first, it's who he is. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. Does he have to muster up obedience to the Mosaic law? Of course not. It says he is the exact representation of God's being. And then how else did he fulfill the law? Well, do you remember all those sacrifices, the Day of Atonement? Coming out of that special day, you stub your toe, you use the Lord's name in vain, and holy moly, you've got to wait 365 more days to get that sin covered, to get it atoned for, to get it dealt with. But what Jesus did was once for all. After he had made purification for sins, he sat down because it was over. He knew he'd never have to die again. It worked the first time. So that once-for-all sacrifice was a fulfillment of the law. So how did Jesus Christ fulfill the law? In his very person, by being himself, in his conduct, as he simply expressed who he was, and in his death, as he brought to an end the entirety of the sacrificial system. Now, we live on this side of the cross, don't we? We live on this side of the resurrection. We're not meant to be pulling out 10 laws from the Old Testament or maybe deleting the Sabbath and using 9 laws to guide our conduct. Somebody says, well, we need the moral law. That's our train tracks. Well, you're not a train. You're a child of God. And the Bible says whoever is led by the Spirit is not under the law. It's as plain as that, that we died to the law, that we're freed from the law, that Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. So Jesus fulfilled the law so that we would never have to, not that we could anyway. But many Christians have the false notion that now that we're saved, we're supposed to fulfill the law. It's as if they're believing that God is going to help us keep the law. You know, we couldn't keep it before, but now we've got the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help us keep it. Does that make any sense to you? Is God helping you keep something that you're dead to? Is God helping you keep something that you're freed from? Is God helping you keep something that Christ was the end of? It makes no sense for us to read Scripture and conclude that we're dead to the law, but supposed to fulfill it. That Christ is the end of the law, but that we gotta fulfill it. That somehow we're freed from the law and not under the law, but we need to fulfill it. Such a teaching is double talk. Quite plainly, it's just nonsense. It makes no sense. And I would say furthermore, the people who are arguing along those lines, let me tell you, I've asked them point blank at some points. I've said, well, then tell me what the Ten Commandments are. I'd like to hear them. If you're under them, and God is inspiring you to keep them, and that's the focus of your morality as a Christian, then what are they? Let's hear them. Number one, number two, number three. And you will be lucky. I'm telling you, you will be lucky if they can recite 6 or 7 of them. Most of them can't get anywhere near 10. And that means then that if they can't even tell you what they are, are they running around trying to keep them? What if the Holy Spirit is who we need? What if the fruit of the Spirit is what he's about? And what if he is enough? You know, Paul, after listing off the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such things there is no law. Now, what does that tell you? Were you worried about chaos? Were you worried about lawlessness? Were you worried about this wild life of partying and sin? Well, apparently, if you've got the Spirit of God living in you, and He is expressing the fruit of the Spirit in you, then against such things there is no law anyway. You're going to be just fine with the self-control that God's Spirit produces. It is not Jesus plus Moses. It's Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. And flirting with Moses is cheating on Jesus. We have got to come to the realization that we need Jesus not merely for His blood sacrifice, but for His life. He didn't just die on a cross. He rose from the dead. He didn't just shed His blood. He gave us His life for a reason. Not so that we would turn back to Moses for morality. Somebody says, well, you know, I heard that we're freed from some of the law, but we're still under the moral law. You know, the Ten Commandments, that's different. That's the exception. Well, it's interesting that so many people are saying that when there's not a shred of evidence that that's the case. There's not a single passage that tells us such an idea. In fact, we'd have to rewrite our Bibles. We'd have to say we're dead to some of the law, that Christ is the end of some of the law, that we're not under a portion of the law. And yet, what do we really find in Scripture? Well, it's pretty plain. It's pretty straightforward. God wants us to do a free fall into trusting Jesus because He's enough. And 2 Corinthians 3 describes the Ten Commandments. That's right. 2 Corinthians 3 describes the moral law. And it says that the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone are a ministry of condemnation and a ministry of death. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want that in my life. Do you? Would you like Jesus for salvation and then a ministry of condemnation for daily living? Would you like Jesus plus nothing to go to heaven and then a ministry of death for Monday and Tuesday? Does that make any sense to you that we died to some of the law, but we still need the law for everyday living? How about we take the Spirit of Christ living in us for everyday living? He gave His life for us, and then He gave His life to us so that He could live His life through us, and it is His life, not the life of Moses, but the life of Jesus, not tablets of stone, but our new heart. And what He wrote there, His commands etched on the lining of our hearts, love one another as I have loved you, believe in Jesus Christ, and love others even as I have loved you. That's what's written on your heart, and you've got a new heart. And Christ poured out His love in your heart. And love covers a multitude of sins. And Jesus is the inspiration. We are compelled by the love of Christ, not by the law of Moses. So it really is about Jesus from start to finish. Colossians tells us this in chapter 2. It says, just as you received Him, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. Do you see there's not one method to start with and then finish with another method? It doesn't work that way. He says, just as you've received Him, so walk in Him. So I guess I would ask you, how did you receive Him? Well, my attitude in receiving Him was, Lord Jesus Christ, I can't save myself. Only You can save me, and so I'm going to let You. Now, if I carry that attitude into daily living, what does that look like? Lord Jesus Christ, I can't live the Christian life. Only You can. You are the Christian life. The Christian life is You, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to let You do it in and through me. And we call that walking by the Spirit. It's about trusting, not trying. It's about what Christ is doing, not what we're doing for Him. So it's living from God instead of merely living for God. It's an attitude change. It's a perspective shift. It's a totally new paradigm. It's called the new covenant. It's called living under grace. And, well, it's what we're all about here at the Grace Message. Man, we love godly living, but we figured out how to get there. And his name is Jesus. We love upright conduct. We love saying no to sin. We love bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We love loving other people. But we've finally discovered how to get there. And it's not by keeping rules. It's by letting Christ rule in our hearts by faith. Again, it's about that perspective. It's about that attitude. And that's all that matters to God, quite frankly. He doesn't care about the product. He cares about the process. Anybody can put on the illusion of bearing fruit, and sometimes it's just wax fruit. You bite into it and there's nothing there. Ooh, gross. But the real thing is easy and light and restful. And it comes from a place of simple dependency and trust. It comes from a place of recognizing that God has equipped us with his very life in Jesus, that we're in him and he's in us. And that we don't have to wake up every day and try to get right and stay right and get cleansed and stay cleansed and get more forgiven and keep our forgiveness and stay in God's will and try not to fall out. The enemy has us duped. The enemy has us obsessed with trying to get what we've already got. So I hope this broadcast tonight has been an encouragement to you. And, well, if it has, we invite you to go to our website at andrewfarley.org. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. You can click on the media tab there and discover the difference. Are you discerning the difference? Well, there's a whole lot of stuff out there that's about do more and be more and try harder. And God is essentially, well, they try to tell you God is essentially in love with a future version of you. You know what I mean? A version of you that tries harder, a version of you that does more, a version of you that volunteers and serves more and loves more and commits more. And so then you try to rededicate and recommit and you tell God, I'm really going to do it this time, Lord. I promise I'm going to keep the 3 steps. I'm going to do the 5 ways. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to be a better husband, a better wife. I'm going to be a better Christian. And then, well, if it's anything like my experience, you fall flat on your face and you wonder, where did I go wrong? And then you're ready. You're ready for something new and different. God calls it the new covenant. And here it is. He says in Hebrews 8, it will not be like the old covenant. I'm going to put my desires in your heart. I'm going to put my desires in your mind. I will be your God and you will be my people. I'll remember your sins no more. And that's just scratching the surface. Once you realize you're clean and you're close and you're united with Christ, you start to get that confidence. You start to realize God is for you, that he actually likes who you are, that he's not keeping score, that there is no clipboard. Well, again, if you want more, check us out right there on andrewfarley.org. We're a nonprofit Christian media ministry. If you want to support what we're doing, your gift is tax deductible. And by the way, it's the best time of the year right now. It is the best time of the year to support what we're doing. And here's why. For the next 11 days, that's it. There's 11 days left. We've got a matching grant where somebody's going to match your gift and it's going to double it. So if you give $100 to the ministry, it becomes $200. If you give $1,000, it becomes $2,000. 6 different donors came forward to make this possible, and we are so grateful. We're so thankful. If you want to help us take full advantage of this, again, go to our website at andrewfarley.org. Again, that's andrewfarley.org. You can click on the donate tab there and give your gift. It takes just a couple of minutes. And of course, if you've got a mobile phone and you want to do it the easy way, Well, just type in the word give and text it to 97393. That's the word give to 97393.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.